with Jesus. The Transfiguration demonstrates a prayer as shared spiritual experience. Even in the solitude of our closet, as Jesus speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount, petitions for our desires for each other and for ourselves are one way we share prayer with each other. But the Transfiguration reveals a transformation in our own being and in our relationships as an important part of what prayer is. The Transfiguration shows heaven is not only a far-off place we access after we die, but also a spiritual place we access to varying degrees whenever we pray. The idea of spiritual togetherness permeates Christian faith and is even a hallmark of most other religions as well. We are spiritually connected, even as we are physically, when we are physically alone. When we go and gather to worship, even two or three of us, we affirm that Christ is with us. When we go to be with others, we join Jesus, who is already there with them. Consider that when we pray, we join with Jesus spiritually. And through Jesus, we join with all with whom Jesus is connected spiritually. People on earth, people in heaven, people in our community, and people around the world. People who share our beliefs and people whose beliefs are vastly different than ours. We are united spiritually with those who are all different places on every spectrum of life we can imagine. And there, in the Spirit, with Jesus, we pray. People on earth and people in heaven met on the mountain. In our gospel reading today, in Matthew 17, verse 1, it said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart." In the Revised Standard Version, that verse reads, "6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves." And so these five people were apart together with Jesus. Peter, James, and John, and Moses, and Elijah. 6 days later, after they were in Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus had asked, "Who do people say that I am?" as it's worded in the King James, as is worded in the Good News translation. And they answered that some people variously speculated that Jesus was John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or some other prophet. And Jesus said, "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That's 6 days. 6 days after that is when they went up the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. John Wesley described the Transfiguration in his notes. He wrote, "Jesus was transfigured or transformed. The indwelling deity darted out its rays through the veil of flesh, and that with such transcendent splendor that he no longer bore the form of a servant. His face shone with divine majesty, like the sun in its strength, and all his body was so irradiated by it that his clothes could not conceal its glory, but became white and glittering as the very light with which he covered himself as a garment. That's a pretty picture, amen. The Bible said that it was during this transformation experience Moses and Elijah appeared in visible form, talking with Jesus. This is the only time the Bible tells about this specific kind of thing happening. And even then, Jesus told those who were with him not to tell anyone about it until after the resurrection. But just think what it was like to be with Jesus at other times, when he was praying, when he was teaching, when he was healing. Even though they might not have seen other people who had died long ago, as they did here, or heard the voice of God from heaven in this specific manner, or seen the brilliant light described in the Transfiguration, they surely experienced all of these things at different levels while they were with Jesus. Togetherness is a key principle of interpreting God's word. In his second letter to all Christians, Peter wrote in today's reading in 2 Peter 1:17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" In the Revised Standard Version, that verse reads, "For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" Peter reflected on this event decades later as he wrote this letter. And his voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount, he goes on to say. He continued in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." Interpreting the scriptures is a communal undertaking. We all need each other's perspectives to come to a shared understanding. In our Methodist heritage, we have received this concept as holy conferencing, one of the means of grace. Like the 120 people who were gathered together in prayer as they awaited the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, we come together with one accord. We work and pray and share our positions to bring each other in love to consensus in what we think and teach and do together. Without love and unity, there can be no consensus about anything. We need them and they need us. And we all need Jesus, of whom God said during the baptism of Jesus and then during the Transfiguration, as worded in the Good News Translation, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am well pleased." Peter's letter continues in today's reading, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Through our holy conversations, our Bible studies and worship services, religious books and inspirational literature, even our music and our discussions, and through our spiritual conversations with God in prayer, our thoughts and feelings are changed, and our spirits are shaped as we hear Christ speaking to our hearts and minds. We are, as Paul put it and wrote about it to the Romans, he said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Jesus taught that love is the basis for interpreting the law and the prophets. Love doesn't happen in a vacuum, but in relationships. The greater the love, the greater the understanding of God's vision and will for us and for all. The love Jesus demonstrated on the cross of Calvary is reflected in the Word of God at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Be with Jesus, with Jesus' vision for humanity and for the kingdom of God and for heaven. The psalmist in Psalm 99, verse 4, today we affirmed together at the beginning of the service, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. And as we read today, responsively from the Revised Standard Version and most other English translations, it says, Mighty God, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. There were a lot of people with Jesus in the sense of being in close proximity to him during his earthly ministry. The scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were with Jesus in synagogues and in people's homes and other settings. But they weren't with him in his vision. There were many people who followed him for his miracles, but not for his teachings. There were the religious leaders and government officials who presided over his crucifixion, but they certainly were not with him in any mental or spiritual sense of the word. Long before Jesus walked on the earth, the psalmist identified God as not only creator, but lover of justice. We often reiterate how Micah said that all God wants from us is that, as he puts it in the New Jerusalem Bible, that we act justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with our God. Being with Jesus means more than sharing the same space. It means sharing the same love for all of God's creation. Here are these key words from this verse. Justice, equity, righteousness. Christ invites us to be with him. In our reading from Exodus 24 today, in verse 12, it said, And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. This is one of many invitations of God to Moses. It is like the invitation from Jesus to Peter, James, and John. It is like the invitation of Jesus to all of us, come unto me. It is like the many invitations of the Bible to all of humanity. Invitations like, come now and let us reason together. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments carved in stone. Notably, after Moses had waited for 6 days, God came to Moses as promised on the seventh day. In John 14, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us, and he promised to return for us, that where I am, there ye may be also. Paul wrote that Christ hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God told Moses, he was giving these commandments, that thou mayest teach them. And Jesus likewise sends us to be in ministry with all the world, with this great commission. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. The Bible invites us to be in an ever-growing relationship with Christ, with God, with each other, with humanity, with creation. Our role as the priesthood of believers challenges us to connect spiritually and build bridges in prayer, not just for others, but with others. Our spiritual connection begins in our thoughts and feelings, regardless of what outward manifestations may follow. Everyone can do this. And now is a good time to practice spiritual togetherness with Jesus. We have come now to the conclusion of the liturgical season of Epiphany, when we have been reflecting on some of the ways Jesus brought light into the world. Next, we turn to the season of Lent, when Christians of all denominations encourage each other to focus on prayer and spiritual renewal. Even people of other religions and many who profess no religion usually find ways to be supportive of everyone who is using Lent as a time for spiritual growth. As we pray, let us not think only of the requests we have for others, but let us think of how we are spiritually connected with them in their situations. Are we praying for healing and comfort and providence, as we do for so many each week? Are we praying for groups of people we may never know, but who are suffering from all kinds of forms of disasters and oppression and struggling with all kinds of issues? Are we praying for the lost, that they might find their spiritual way home to God? Are we praying for people of other religions, that they may be converted or that their beliefs may be reconciled with ours? Then let us pray and build bridges, not only for them, but with them. Let's think about how Jesus is praying for and with them, and join with Jesus in our prayers. Let us seek to connect mentally and emotionally and spiritually with those for whom we pray. As we go then to our mountaintops or our prayer rooms, let us watch and see who meets us there in prayer. Let us listen to hear how God speaks to us in prayer. Let us be mindful of how we are being transformed in prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.